the first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 to 14, and you'll find it in page 1167 of the Pew Bibles. When you turn to it, you'll find it's highly apposite, and I'm sure it's more than coincidence that this is being read today. Final greetings. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be one of mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Is taken from Matthew, chapter 28. Starting at verse 16, and can be found on page 1001 in the Pew Bibles. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I have to say, until Anthony introduced me this morning, I hadn't quite realised the extent of the task before me. Let's pray. Lord God, help. Amen. It's hard to know how to start this morning. The whole week has felt a bit of a blur. Nationally, of course, we've had the build-up to the election and we've begun to see some of the mixed responses to the hung parliament. But if I may speak personally, this week has been made all the more difficult for the many goodbyes Annie, Anna and I have found ourselves saying before we moved to Beckenham on Wednesday. Now, I don't know if during a big move or a time of transition you felt the same, but it's hard to say goodbye to a place when you felt well loved there. And that is how Anna and I feel. We've had a great time in Tunbridge. We've felt well cared for. You've enriched our lives, and we hope in some small way we've contributed something back to the life of this church family. Now, over the last 4 years, as you may well know, I've been involved with the church youth group, and they've been a constant source of colour and humour. And I'd like to think that there's a link between their banter and their affection. Or at least, I hope there's a link between their banter and their affection. Let me give you an example of their love. Could we have the photo on the screen? Here we go. So a couple of years back, we were thinking about what makes us as human beings feel happy and fulfilled. And I asked the guys to write a list of things which made them happy and unhappy. And because they always take me seriously, in the list of things that make them unhappy, they put things like this. Simon's jokes. Simon's fashion sense. Simon thinking he's a gym lad. And it gets worse, don't worry. Don't worry, if you thought that was worse. No. Simon's hairline. That makes our youth group unhappy. And the worst of all, the one that really cut to the heart, Simon's beard. We're really going to miss this place. Thanks for the photo. Thank you. So today, it's a real joy to be able to talk to you about the Trinity, about who God is. And I want to stick with this idea about what it is to experience a community that cares for one another, where even banter has its place. Because as we talk about who God is, the big point I want to make, the main theme that I want you to go home with and actually do something about, the big idea is this. Love each other. Love each other. Look after one another, and the God of love and peace will be with you. There it is from verse 11 of our New Testament reading, which you can find on page 1167, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. You see, in that reading, the Apostle Paul had to write an emotional sign-off, a very difficult farewell to a church family he loved deeply. And his final command to them is precisely this: look out for each other, won't you? Love each other. And then follows this famous prayer of blessing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I might disappoint you, but I'm not going to use this opportunity as my last sermon to say anything controversial. I'm not going to proffer anything new. But as we head our separate ways, we come to this point where our lives now branch off in different directions. Just remember to love one another. And Anna and I will be praying that the grace of Jesus, the love of Father God, and the friendship, the uniting friendship of the Spirit, will be with you. Now, as we look at these two verses, verses 11, I think 14, it's really important that we understand that this prayer there in verse 14, which tells us about who God is, and the command to love one another in verse 11, they're linked. You can't separate them. The church can't obey the command to love without knowing God's love. But all too often, when we want to think about the deep stuff like the Trinity, we unplug our brains. We disconnect our minds from the other areas of our life. And we detach our thinking from our doing. We remove our searching questions about faith from the more practical areas of life. And we approach these mysteries as a kind of mental exercise. Oh, the Trinity thing, well, that's for the really keen church types. It doesn't really have any practical use or value to our lives. And when we tell ourselves that, we shield ourselves from the real adventure of the Christian life. When we make that error, when we disconnect our faith from the way we live, we take a terrible anesthetic that keeps us from living life in full color, in surround sound. We've made the error of separating the command to love God from the belief in who God is. We've separated the command to love from love's source, the God who is love. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can see the sense of disconnectedness at work in our culture, even in our own lives. We somehow sense in ourselves that it's good and right to be generous and kind to one another, but we've forgotten how that's connected to Christian faith. We've forgotten how and where this Jesus character fits into things. We've separated faith from action, praying from doing. And we live detached and disjointed lives, unable to express or articulate that frustration, to join the dots which connect our desire to do good with the source of all goodness, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you feel disconnected? Do you need to place faith and action back together to reconnect that desire to do good with the source of all goodness, God himself? That's the Apostle Paul's hope for his friends here. Paul doesn't separate the spiritual things from the rest of life. He doesn't disconnect the difficult questions about faith from the rest of who we are. Instead, he offers us one picture of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he reveals it to us, or rather, as someone to be experienced. He shows us who God is so that we might encounter him for ourselves. This is practical. This is spiritual. This is what the Christian life's about. Paul says, do you want to know something about the Trinity? Let me tell you about Jesus. He'll show you who God is and what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. The prayer in verse 14, the command in verse 11, they go hand in hand. We can think about it the other way. If you want to know how to love and support one another as best you can, if you want to live as a church community, you're going to need to know something about the Trinity. So get to know Jesus, who reveals to us most clearly who the God of love is. So see, the Trinity is not an academic conundrum to keep hidden away. We don't need to be embarrassed by what we can't fully understand. The Trinity is who God is, and the best way to wrestle with that is to get to know Jesus. That's what that prayer there at the very end of the book, the very end of 2 Corinthians, is about. It's Paul's deep yearning, a desire for his friends to experience the deep things of God, so that his friends might understand how they could love one another as fully and as rightly as they ought to. For Paul, the inner life of God, the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, becomes the pattern for our own relationships with each other. The very character of God, his unity in diversity, is the standard to which we aspire as a church family. Because after all, God is the basis, the foundation of all relationship. He is himself perfect community. Paul's saying, God is perfect community. And so we, you and I, cannot strive to be a healthy church family without him. We cannot cut off our desires to be and do good from the source of all goodness. We can't love each other rightly without God. So the command, love one another. Yeah, absolutely, but you can't do that without the love of God. And it's because Paul holds these two things together, his vision for a loving community and his vision of God, that the words of that blessing in verse 14 become not just an encouraging piece of liturgy we might say to each other from time to time at the end of a church service, but what's more, it becomes an affirmation of our commitment to each other in the midst of all we're going through. Now, if we take just the briefest of moments to think about our church family, to think about the people of Tunbridge, you will know of someone facing life-threatening illness. You will know of someone struggling to manage their personal finances. You will know of people struggling in their marriage. You will know of those living with mental illness. You know those people who are bereaved and lonely. You know of people struggling with addiction and vice. And it's precisely into those situations we speak the words of that grace to one another. We speak God's character over each other. Every time we use those words, what we sometimes call the words of the grace, we're doing something special. We are speaking the character of God over one another, even over our brokenness. And that's a sacred thing. It's our prayer that the fullness of God's presence would draw alongside us in the midst of depression, in the midst of debt, in the midst of all that confronts us. We're taking what we believe about God and we connect it to the rest of what's going on in our lives by speaking those words over each other. And because the command to love each other is connected to our belief in who God is and what he's like, our support for one another simply cannot stop with those words. Our support for one another cannot stop by the close of Sunday. By faith, we're united as a family. We have a shared life with God. And so that means we do the hard work of standing with one another. If you want to love as God is love, it means opening up your home to be a place of welcome. If you want to love even as God is love, it means going to the hospital to visit the sick and dying. If you want to love as God is love, that means watching the neighbor's kids so that their grieving parents can have 5 minutes to cry without fear of interruption. It means being willing to help a friend get back on their feet. It means being unafraid to ask someone who's struggling with a mental illness to simply ask them how they're doing. Because our command to love is connected to our belief in who God is, we do the hard work of supporting one another in tough times. But it also means something very precious. It also means something glorious. It means you will always have a place where you belong. You will always have an extended family. We might not always get it right. We might sometimes miss the mark by a mile. But in the life of the church, because it's connected to who God is, you will always have a place where you belong. So what have I said this morning? Love each other. Look out for each other, won't you? But don't live a disconnected life. Reconnect that instinct to do good with the source of all goodness. Because you can't love each other rightly without the God who is love. For the theologians amongst you, if you want to know something about the Trinity, get to know Jesus. He shows us who God is and how to love our neighbours as ourselves. For the doers amongst us, committed to social action, if you want to know how to love as fully and as well as you can, discover love's source. Get to know Jesus, who reveals to us most clearly the God who is love. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.